It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. John C. Dvorak's on my right. Robert Scoble's on my left. I've got Anil Dash from ThinkUp and Dwight Silverman from The Chronicle. We'll talk about the big Tuesday ahead. Announcements from Nokia, from Microsoft, even from Apple. What could they be talking about? We'll talk about watches. Robert's got the inside story and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 428, recorded October 20th, 2013. Literally the least I could do. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWIT10. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with coworkers and clients anywhere. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. You can even present from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. No credit card needed. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. And we've got a massive panel and a good one, too. I'm glaid to have John C. Dvorak, all in plaid, back again. We missed you a little bit.
Oh?
Yeah.
Well, that's unbelievable.
I'm glad you brought some vinegar.
Look at this shirt, huh?
That's good. That's a Scott E. vest. I recognize
it.
No
agenda and Gitmo Nation.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
Gitmo Nation. Huh? What does that even mean, Gitmo Nation?
Yeah, you're in it.
It doesn't even mean anything. Also with us on my left-hand side here, Mr. Robert Scoble on his third pair of Google glasses.
Yeah.
He's got the San Francisco Giants brand on those now. That's cool. What, did you break the other two?
A shower. They electrocuted him.
The mirror peeled off.
Did Google replace those because it was defective? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you didn't pay three times $1,500 bucks. All right. Also with us, I'm very glad to have Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle and blog.cron.com/techblog. Good to have you.
Good to be back, Leo. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Missed you too. And somebody we haven't had on in, I think, years.
A long time.
Anil Dash is here.
Yeah,
Dashes.com and ThinkUp. When was the last? You've been on Twit, right?
Gosh, I feel it's been years.
It's been years, literally. But I also feel like, you know, we stay in touch through Gina Trapani, who, of course, works for ThinkUp.
Absolutely.
And I follow you and your blog, Dashes, all pretty assiduously. And in fact, I wanted to get you on for three reasons. Of course, the big one, you announced ThinkUp.com, the hosted version of ThinkUp.
Yep.
Congratulations on that. You're doing a Kickstarter right now, right?
Yeah, it's a crowdfunding campaign. It's not on Kickstarter, but it's the same kind of thing.
Where would we go for that?
You go to thinkup.com. Very easy.
And what this really does is it gives you some capital, but it also allows people to sign up to have ThinkUp. And I'm one of the backers on this.
Yeah, ThinkUp, I appreciate the support. A very old-fashioned idea of charging for a product.
You already sold out of the early bird.
Yeah.
And so you've raised how much? 783 backers. You hope to get 1,000 by November 15th, but you'll launch. Gina said you'll launch no matter what.
Yeah, well, you can't stop us. we're excited. The response has been incredible. I mean, we thought we would hit maybe 1,000 folks in a month, and here we are not even a week in, and we're almost at 800. So that's I'm thrilled.
ThinkUp is a very useful analytics program. It started originally around Twitter. In fact, I've used it. Mm-hmm. My friend Steve Martin was saying, I want to do a book of my tweets. Is there any way that I keep track of them and the replies? And I was happy to get him over to Gina, and she set him up. So Steve Martin used it for his Twitter book. Yep. But you're adding Facebook, Instagram, Google Plus, other social networks now.
Yeah, we're experimenting with all this right now. And the core thing is that it's really easy for an advertiser to get a dashboard of information about you from Facebook or Twitter. And it's really hard for us to get a dashboard of information about ourselves from Facebook and Twitter. And that's kind of crazy. And so the idea is I should know at least as much about my Twitter activity as any advertiser does.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's really fun. And you can know, like, which tweets you've done in the last week that were the – you would like this, John, with the most popular, got the most
reach.
They
do that. I get that from Twitter.
Oh, no, much more than the Twitter analytics.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter has that basic version of this, got a lot of retweets and favorites. We're going all the way to, like, which things you say made people happiest or, in John's case, antagonized them the most or
– I need this information.
You do need to know.
Exactly.
That's valuable.
Exactly. I've been losing my touch.
Yeah. You know, it's funny what people respond to, but it can even be like, did people like your new profile picture better than your old one? And that stuff seems silly, but that's what – tons of people do every day using the networks.
So, John, we're going to keep track of everything you say today, and at the end of the show, we'll tell you what the most antagonistic thing was that you said.
Okay.
Okay, chat room, that's your job.
They do that anyway.
Crowdsourcing it, I know. I know. This is, you know, this is a kind of one of those weird periods where you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Apple sent out invitations on Tuesday for an Apple event this coming Tuesday, October 22nd. Of course, perfect timing because that's the day the new Surface 2 comes out, and everybody's – it's so exciting. It's like a doubleheader.
Wow. I'm jacked up about this.
Totally.
I think if Microsoft had known, they might have delayed. But
look out, Christmas.
Look, here come the tablets. There is something to be said about that, though, because it really is, you know, it's a tablet world, a post-PC universe. Tablets are doing very well. This announcement on Tuesday will probably be new iPads, probably both the big and the little one. I expect they'll also announce or talk about their new Mac Pro, which they've been talking a lot about since the WWDC in June. Mm-hmm. Anything else to – do we don't – you know, it's all rumors. Is it worth even speculating? Probably not.
Nah.
Who cares? Meanwhile, Google can't get the.
If you're going to talk about that, you should mention the 8.1 failure on the RT.
Well, let's talk about that. That's actually a very good topic. Well, I want to. All right, yeah.
But first,
there's nothing more to say about Apple, right? That's done. That enough of the announcement.
Well,
we have
plenty will be said, regardless.
Yeah, we'll say it next week.
Next week's show will be all Apple all the time.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I look like, you know, the rumor mills are, well, you know, then the channel now you can get, there's plenty of Apple TV. So I guess they're not going to announce a new one, but, it's all kind of meaningless stuff. Go ahead, Dwight. You have some insight you'd like to pass along? You can.
I was just going to say, if it's all the good stuff is coming next week, can we just like go away and come back next week?
No, there's plenty of stuff to talk about.
All right.
You may not
leave. One thing I want to point out about this announcement on the 22nd is Apple has done this very un-Apple thing where they have announced a product and they're talking about it, but it doesn't exist yet. And that's the Mac Pro. And that's expected to be one of the things coming this week. It's made in the U.S. It's their first product made in the U.S. in a long time, out in El Paso.
Is that made in Texas? It's made in Texas, all right.
Yeah, made in El Paso, right. And probably with one of the joint Mexican U.S. Factories over there. And my suspicion is that I'm real curious as to kind of why – I still don't understand why they talked about it so far in advance.
Because I could tell you why, because the pro community has been so pissed off with Apple – that they're leaving in droves for Windows and Premiere and other solutions,
well,
and they're trying to stem the bleeding.
Yeah, they haven't changed the case on this thing since, like,
2010.
You know, 2003. I mean,
no,
it's been
2010. I have it. I have the most recent Mac Pro, which was made in 2010.
Plus, it's not quite the thing you just buy on a credit card. You have to save up a little bit for
thousands.
Right. A fully decked-out system is going to be, what, $10,000?
We don't know.
They haven't said. They haven't mentioned the price
for a long time.
Say again, Anil?
It's looked like a cheese grater for a long time. And now it looks like a trash can, and that's cool.
I have one here.
Actually, yeah, he's got one here. He's got the prototype.
Let me just go get the prototype.
Here he goes. He'll be right back with it.
Quick sponsor read while we...
There he goes. There it is.
Amazing.
This is actual size.
They're going to send assassins after you for having this prototype out.
It's got the blower in the top, but it's made out of duct tape, so it's not exactly...
No, that's gaffer's tape.
I'm sorry, gaffer's tape. Yeah.
I like the little logo on the bottom.
But we wanted to kind of estimate about what it would be like. And so you can't tell from the ads.
Probably weighs more than that.
It probably does. It's in space, you know, but it isn't very big. It's small enough that you could, you know, put it on your desk like that. Mm. Of course, what this doesn't include is all the external peripherals and hard drives you're going to have to add to make it do anything.
All Thunderbolt, right?
Yeah. Thunderbolt 2.
I don't think the pro community is all that happy with what they've seen, because it does, it's not very expandable from within. It all relies on these external devices. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's what the pro community wants.
Well, as Web 4991 said in our chat room, the pros don't care about the case. They just want the power.
Yeah, I mean, every pro video editor I've ever known has 8 billion things hanging off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I disagree with Dwight.
You think this is a good? This is good?
I think it's fine to have all this crap hanging off.
Yeah,
you know, it's fine. But it's silly to promote the beautiful design if
oh, and you have a bunch of garbage hanging off.
It's gonna look like
off.
I mean, you're gonna have a Drobo unit, or far better, a raid. You know, some sort of.
It's gonna look like a Bombay bus.
But you know, your old Thunderbolt will work in this, right?
Yeah, I mean, the back of any professional video editor's computer looks like the Christmas tree lights the night you take them out of the box.
True. Some Zach says like Cthulhu.
Thunderbolt's fast. Am I?
Cthulhu?
It's going to look like Cthulhu.
That's why I got Thunderbolt Drobo on my system. It's fast. You know?
That's nerdy. I like that.
That's pretty nerdy.
But it's going to cost $12,000 to buy one of these things with a RAID drive.
I think you can get one cheaper than that. I think you're exaggerating the price.
You're going to need, like, I don't know, 20 gigs of RAM in there, and you're going to need, you know, all the hard drives.
The people using this is their.
What if you're just running WordStar? Nobody runs WordStar. What are you talking about?
You can run that on an Arduino board. You don't need you don't need to have a $12,000 Mac for that.
I mean, the people that are using this thing, money is no object because it's their job. It's all they do, right? It's like the carpenter buys the best hammer.
Yeah, it's like Pixel Cores next door. They're probably going to buy three of them.
We will have Alex Lindsay on the we're going to do the live announcement thing as we usually do, where we do the commentary behind the announcement at 9:30 a.m.
Actually, Scoble is starting to look like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's always looked like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I think more so, more than before.
I haven't broken bad yet.
You kind of look like you've broken bad, come to think of it. Shave your head, put on a pork pie hat, who knows? That was completely out of nowhere. That was a non sequitur.
Yeah, it was from this chat room. I pay very careful attention to these people. Yeah,
that's your mistake. Right?
They're good. They're, if you don't abide by their thinking, then you're doomed.
So here's my prediction. Yeah. There will be a relatively inexpensive, and I'm going to say $24.99, version of this that no one will want, but that will establish the starting at price, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's all that matters.
Yeah, this is the old Radio Shack.
Yeah, starting at $24.99. Yeah, but the one you want will be $5,000 or more.
No,
I'm sure.
You want is fully decked out because $12,000.
And you have not priced this out. You're just making this up.
No, the last Mac Pro, my friend bought when it was $12,000 when he got all the SSD and all the hard drives and
easy to.
And then you want two new Mac monitors, you know?
There'll be a lot of people buying this thing for $3,000. There's going to be a lot of Mac.
You know who's going to buy it?
Spend $3,000. Right.
I'm going to buy it for the cheapest price. I'm hoping the $24.99 will have 128 gigs of storage. It'll have 8 gigs of RAM. It'll be 4 gigs of RAM. It'll be the simplest, dumbest one. In fact, by the way, notice if you go to buy a Mac Pro today, quad core $24.99. Again, starting at. But it's not hard to get to 12 core $37.99 and then start to add features. You know, let's have a little bit faster processor. Let's get to a 64 gigs of RAM. Let's put in a solid state drive. Let's put in a 2 terabyte second drive, third drive. And already I'm up to $10,000. I'm up to $92.49 already.
You're adding drive after crazy drive.
All right, I'll take out those extra drives.
Back some stuff up once in a while.
One solid state and one spinning.
Don't they have new 4K monitors coming out?
Okay. And then, so I won't fill up. Now, graphics, do I want... You don't want the 5770. You want the 5870.
Why?
Can you add like a Tesla?
100 better.
We'll just get a Tesla coupe.
100 better.
Do you want one or two superdrives? I'll go with one. Oh, wait a minute. This doesn't include the display. Let's add the Apple display.
And by the way, don't they have new 4K displays coming out for this thing?
Well, and I think they will, and those will be very expensive. I do think they will. They've talked about 4K.
4K is not that much more expensive than the regular stuff nowadays.
No, but it's still, even if it was the same price as the old monitor, it's $1,000 each.
Well, I'm sorry,
it's more expensive.
Yes, it would
be. So a 4K cinema display is going to be what? It's $1,000 for the regular, say $2,500, $2,000?
Yeah.
$1,999?
$3,298.
It's going to be $12,000 by the time you get that.
I will buy this as a home theater PC.
Well, why? That's nuts.
It'll look great in my living room.
It'll make a racket. I wouldn't. Are they going to have fans and everything?
No, that's part of it. I'm telling you.
This is gaffer's tape you're showing us.
But notice the fan. Look at this. It's got one fan. That's this. It's got the cooling core. It's hollow. What are you laughing at? This is an exact reproduction. The cooling fan is hollow, and one fan draws the heat up through the core.
And makes noise.
No. It's a big, the bigger the blades, and the quieter it is. So it can rotate slower. I suspect this will be a very quiet machine. It's a perfect home theater PC.
Leo, it's so sad all these years in broadcasting, and you're reduced to being a prop comic now. Like that. I just hate to see that.
I'm the Gallagher of tech.
Yeah, that's really, it's a shame to see that.
Where's could the be watermelon? Like,
or as, who was it said, the carrot top of analysts?
Dear. Dick Costolo.
Dick Costolo. We could talk about that. You've been involved in, besides Think Up, Anil Dash has been involved in two major stories of the last few months, and we wanted to get you on to talk about that as well.
Oh, boy.
You threatened to Pax Dickinson threatened to beat you up, so that's good.
I saw him yesterday.
We'll talk about that. And Dick Costolo, the CEO of Twitter, you got a little back and forth over the fact that there are no women at the top of Twitter. There's no women on the board. And
that wasn't really what I talked to him about, but there was a conversation about that, sure.
Good. Well, I'd like to hear both of those. And sure. Thank you for defending whoever you're defending.
I think I'm happy to do so.
The disenfranchised.
There you go. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tweet. It's literally the least I could do. I marched on Washington.
It's harder to write short.
It's just you suck.
It's the least. Headlines.
Was the least I could do. Literally. Yeah. Let's take a break. We're going to come back with more. Anil Dash is here from dashes.com and thinkup.com. Robert Scoble, the Scobalizer from Rackspace. John C. Dvorak, dvorak.org/blog. And, of course, Channel Dvorak. And from the Houston Chronicle, Dwight Silverman. Still writing for the newspaper?
Actually, I do very little stuff for print. Almost everything is in the blog, and I'm running our social media initiatives out of the newsroom. So
you talked about the last time you were here. Is that working out?
Yeah, it's enjoyable. It's a real challenge. We have gotten, we can safely say we've now got every reporter on Twitter, and so we're using it in much more aggressively than we had in the past. We were already using it pretty aggressively.
You know, I was just reading about the budget for healthcare.gov, the Affordable Health Care Act's exchange, the insurance exchange site, which the government got a Canadian company, CGI Federal, to build. The original budget for that, if you thought your website was expensive, the original budget for that was $92 million.
You know what I don't get?
It's over $200 million, the final cost.
Why didn't they just use Squarespace?
That was my thought exactly. $24 a month, and they could have had e-commerce too.
Exactly. And it would have worked better.
And it wouldn't be down. I can tell you that right now. Even if a million people tried to sign up at Squarespace.com, you can't bring a Squarespace site down. I could have saved the government a lot of money. A lot of money. I'm going to save you a lot of money. We had a caller today on the radio show say, I spent a lot of money on my
show.
The radio. I do a radio show. Do you know that?
When did that start?
The Tech Guy Show in 1992 with you.
They still have radio shows.
Remember? You and I.
I remember that, but I don't remember you doing a new show.
I never stopped.
Oh.
I never stopped. The Tech Guy Show.
You can't listen to it on KGO anymore.
They moved it to KSF. It's at 9:10 a.m. on Sunday afternoons. I'm sure John listens on the way up.
I can't get it anymore.
Really? You know, they pulled it off of XM this weekend.
Well,
XM
kicked
all the Clear Channel stations off, the America's Talking Station.
Well, what do you think that was?
Oh, that's a good story, and I'll tell you that as soon as
we'll
finish
Squarespace. When we get back to the show.
Yeah. This guy called up and he said, you know, I spent a lot of money on a website, and the developer has absconded. I don't know who I don't know who did the name.
This is the government you're talking about?
No, it could have been though. I don't know where it's hosted. I've lost the keys to the kingdom. And this happens all the time because people don't know. They want to do a website, they go, they get a contractor, and they don't realize the contractor's got the domain name in their name. They've got the hosting in their name, and if they leave or they move to Aruba, you're out of luck.
That's dumb.
Squarespace, you've got complete control of it all. They will register domain name for you, so it's all set up. When you buy the annual plan, they'll do that for free. And you'll get the greatest hosting in the world. It never goes down. Attached to the best content management system. And that's, I think, one of the reasons the hosting works.
You know, the No Agenda
so well.
Show uses Squarespace as its website.
Do you send
people? We have never had a stoppage.
Yeah. So you send people there during the show, which means probably thousands hit simultaneously, and it never goes down. No, it never goes down.
There it is. No
this
agenda
is where
show.
You can listen to the show.
Oh, that's the latest one. I got to have to post. It
takes
on my
no
blog.
Time.
Yeah.
You could have maybe made it a little prettier, but that's okay.
Well, this is
it wouldn't match John's brand.
It wouldn't.
You have a simple brand. A clean, simple brand.
Minimalism.
It's the
minimalism.
It's the plaid.
It's the plaid. A little hipster, a little minimalism, all built in one.
You know, you get your choice. If you go to squarespace.com, click the Get Started button. You don't need to give them a credit card. You can, for 2 weeks, create your own site. You're going to pick a template. They have new templates coming out all the time. Great designers working at Squarespace. One thing all the templates share, though, they're all mobile responsive. That means your site will look great no matter how big or small the screen is. Very modern and very important to do that. They also support commerce. So all of their sites can be, you can add the commerce capability. So if you want to sell stuff, you can. They've won numerous design awards from the FWA, the Webby's, Forbes Awards. They've also got just incredible, simple, easy to use, point and click, drag and drop interfaces. But if you're a developer, you can also use CSS and JavaScript. They've got a great developer platform as well. Let the girls play outside. I love this. This is wildlife portraiture. It's fun to visit the various websites created on Squarespace.com. And one thing you'll notice immediately is they all look unique. You don't look like you've done a, well, except for that one. You don't look.
The default template.
You didn't change it at all.
We like
you?
It.
Yeah. Why change
it's
it?
It's got a look. It's got
perfect.
A kind of thing, you know. It works for us.
You don't have
it's
to change
it's a podcast.
It.
You don't need the website.
That's
to
what
be
I
fancy.
Keep telling people. It's just a podcast, for crying out loud. The price is right, too. It starts at $8 a month when you get an annual plan. But I think you're going to want either the unlimited plan, $16 a month with unlimited pages, galleries, blogs, unlimited bandwidth. You'll never get a bandwidth bill, unlimited storage, unlimited contributors. $24 a month, you also get commerce, unlimited physical and or digital products. So you can sell CDs and MP3s, books and ebooks, that kind of thing. The mobile store will give you inventory tracking, the tax calculation, shipping. They'll do coupons if you want. I mean, it really is the best commerce solution. Plus, it's global. Your online store is available in 10 countries, U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, Belgium, France, Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Spain. They're adding more all the time. It's free to try. 2 weeks free. If you decide you want to buy, do use our offer code TWIT and the number 10, and you get 10% off and show your support for This Week in Text. So the offer code TWIT10 when you decide to buy for 10% off your new account, squarespace.com.
I see a lot of bullet points in that last ad.
I don't even read the bullet points.
Yeah, you did. You actually read those bullet points.
I just kind of, I consider them a serving suggestion. Like I put a little sprig of parsley on there and I'm done. See, I didn't mention that they won a gold Stevie Award. I left that one.
I don't know Stevie.
I don't either, but I'm sure it's good. That's for service. All right.
Well, that's
so,
that's
Windows 8.1.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
right,
good one.
Yeah.
Let's came out this week. It was a fairly easy update if you were using Windows 8 Professional. No problem at all. Our friend Tom Merritt, who runs TNT, had the misfortune. He had a Windows RT tablet.
Yeah, Surface. This is where the real problem began.
Bricked it.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious.
And
so that's strange. I have. I'm the user of a Surface RT. I'm the guy who bought one.
Did you upgrade?
And I did, but I upgraded a while. I think they had a developer one.
Oh, you did
and
the
I
preview.
Had, and I hadn't, yeah, and I had no problems.
But you haven't done the new one.
I think I have. I think I have, and it had no problems.
Well, maybe there was a process involved here by doing the first one and then upgrading one more time. It could be.
Yeah,
these kinds of
maybe,
things happen.
Maybe that solved it. But I feel like it's actually a pretty good product.
Well,
which is kind of weird.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's a big improvement. It's a big improvement over Windows 8.
Well, it goes a long way to kind of fixing a lot of the things that everyday users complain about, but it kind of doesn't go far enough. There are little things in it that make it a lot easier. When people would complain to me that they didn't like Windows 8, they couldn't find their programs, you know, I would tell them to use the search box, and that brings up that kind of wide field of apps so you can see all your apps like the program groups. And they've put that in there with that little arrow down at the bottom of the live tile, live tile field, and that lets you see everything. So if you kind of take somebody who doesn't like Windows 8 and show them Windows 8.1 and walk them through it. I've done this with a few folks. They tend to like it better, but there's still that annoying, that start screen just really is irritating to people. It makes them feel like they can't find their stuff. And I like David Pogue's review where
I thought he was right on. I think he nailed it.
Yes, he did.
What did Pogue say?
He said there's two worlds. There's tile world and there's desktop world.
Sure.
And the two just aren't really don't mesh that well. Microsoft did one interesting thing where they finally allowed you to have the same wallpaper for the tile background as the desktop. And that actually does.
But find that setting. I cannot find that setting. I've been searching.
It really does unify the experience. But I'll tell you, my experience is a little different. I was always a Windows guy. I never had an Apple computer ever until a couple years ago. A company I was at, they were like, "We don't have a Windows laptop handy. We're going to give you a Mac." And I said, "I'll try it, sure." And so I've been Mac ever since. And that was, you know, the sort of the Windows XP days, and it was a pain in the butt to manage the computer. But I kept an eye on Windows, and then I got this Surface RT, the first in Windows 8, and the first time I played with it with Windows in years, and I, you know, what they call Tile World, you know, in Pogue's framing of this thing. That's all I use. I've got a bunch of apps. They're all native to Windows. I use it every day. Now, my main machine is still my Mac, but I go in there and I fire up Skype. I set up a couple tiles. Next to it is my chat or whatever I'm doing, or a browser open to whatever we're talking about in Skype. And I got the next to each other. It's the best Skype on any platform. It's the best Netflix on any platform. It looks really nice. It works great. And I'm kind of like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the only person that really gets this thing. But I'm like, every once in a while, I can drop into Office if somebody sent me a Word doc. But that's how often does that even happen anymore? But for the things that I'm doing every day, I use Trello, that sort of list making app, the to do app kind of thing.
Dan Brickman, and, right?
Yeah. It's Joel Spolsky.
Joel Spolsky. That's right. Yeah.
And that's a great app. And they're all really good apps. And I feel like, hey, and I can have two of them up at a time, which I can't do on my iPad. I can copy and paste real easily, do all those kinds of things I would do. And I'm like, this is pretty good. Maybe I'm just the guy they designed it for.
Yeah, well, you know, your description sounds like the taste of an old lady. A lot of kind of minor apps.
She's pretty good. I'm gonna back up. I played with Windows 8, and I was just up at Microsoft and saw the new stuff. It's not that bad.
That bad is not a sterling
it's
endorsement.
Not that
not
bad is a very wimpy kind of thing to say.
What Pogue said, and I think he's right on, is, and I believe, I'll extend a little bit what he said, is that I believe this is an adolescent software program, that Microsoft is in between two stages of growth.
Right.
They're going from the desktop
two stages
world,
of death.
Going from the desktop world to the tablet world. They've acknowledged that we're in a post-PC universe. They understand we need to be a tablet operating system. In fact, Mary Jo Foley says her sources at Microsoft says the next version of Windows, which won't be out till spring 2015, is going to be based on, get this, Windows Phone. This is where Microsoft's going. And so when you use Windows 8, you're using an adolescent product that's halfway grown. Right. It's half between desktop and half between tablet.
The real problem I have is nothing Anil said. I was at startup school, Y Combinator. It was 1,600 entrepreneurs.
That sounded like fun, by the way.
That was yesterday. Yeah. I didn't see a single Windows box there. And these are the kids who are building the companies. They're bringing
what
the
they
cool stuff to the market. And so if you are betting on the Windows
what
ecosystem,
did they have?
Macs. And I saw Mac iPads, laptops. Androids everywhere. These kids are totally into the mobile phones. That's where they're developing the cool stuff. iPhone or Android, right?
No argument there. You're going to go to any of these events where people are making something innovative and interesting, and not just in tech. If you go to a conference of lawyers, you go to a conference of librarians, they've got MacBooks. And the people that have Windows laptops feel like the people you talk to that still have a BlackBerry. Well, work gave it to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But in business, if you go to any office, it's Windows everywhere. Even our office, it's Windows everywhere. That's what people use. But and this is Microsoft's problem, is that there are all these people who are using Excel on the desktop. They can't abandon them. That's just Microsoft historically has always had so much trouble leaving legacy behind. Well, but they really apparently have decided that the world is post-PC and they don't want to be in the PC business. They even call
themselves...
Why
don't they just shoot themselves?
They call themselves a devices and services company. This reorganization is along
those
lines. They bought Nokia because they want to sell Surface phones.
Because how many phones are selling this year? 900 million smartphones. And 4 to 10% are Windows phones.
Right.
And Microsoft does not like that number.
Right.
Microsoft is doing well in legacy. Leo's right. You go into any business in America, you go into middle America, and everybody's still using Windows, but there's no growth there. And Microsoft, as a public company, has to go where the growth is. And so this is their shot at it. The problem is they're not doing well in the areas that are growing heavily. They're not doing well in tablets. They're not doing well in phones. And so Microsoft, they have to serve legacy because that's where their current cash cow is. It's very similar to the newspaper business. They have to serve... Right.
Legacy. By the way, you can't kill the old.
Dwight, I don't know if you or Mary Jo have picked up on this, but there is a huge brain drain going on at Microsoft, and I am getting so many people begging me for jobs.
Why are they begging you?
Because they're desperate. They want out right now. And
But why are they begging you? Are you hiring Robert Scoble? Are you hiring?
I work for a company that has 5,000 employees.
Oh, Rackspace.
You know? Yeah. They're begging everybody, man. They're not just begging me. They're begging everybody, you know? Jeff Sandquist, who was the company man, is at Twitter now, right?
Yeah. So, Robert, why do they want
it? It's a huge win for Twitter, too.
Because it really is in disarray up there, and it's not a fun place to work at right now. It's not a place where innovators want to be.
Well, in any transition, right? They're changing leadership all the way around at the top. You know, obviously getting rid of the CEO, obviously changing the organization, the company, any of that kind of stuff shakes out anybody who's loose.
It's worse than that because all the cool kids in the world are not using Windows boxes, and they know the world is moving somewhere else, and people who care about their future careers don't want to be where there's no movement. You know?
Yeah, and where's the only cool thing they've done, Xbox? I think consoles as a whole are getting displaced by tablets and phones.
My advice to people is you don't want to be caught in this kind of in-between world. You should stick with Windows 7 unless you have to buy. If you're going to buy a new computer, you have to get Windows 8.
Windows 8 and Classic Shell is a great combination that works.
It still feels like...
I know, but it depends who you are, right? If you're that guy who only uses Excel every day, Windows 8 is great.
Yeah. We're all old timers, right? How does this compare to the transition from classic OS, Mac OS, to OS 10? I feel like it's better integrated in Windows 8.
Oh, I disagree.
Than Mac
nobody
OS
bitched about the change.
Well,
to OS
first of all,
10.
Back then nobody was using a Mac except for Leo.
And believe me, OS 10 was such an improvement over classic OS. But Apple did the right thing. They had a classic shell. You were able to run classic software.
Full emulator, right?
And they didn't change. Apple's always been good at cutting off the old and moving on.
It also didn't change the look of the OS all that much. I mean, you still had the same menu bar with the same Apple bar.
Still ran.
The same app switcher.
The blue box.
Aqua was a big change. OS 10 was a big change.
It was a big change, but it wasn't that big a change in UI. Windows 8 is a dramatic change on the UI. The first thing you see does not look anything like Windows 7.
Well, and we have to mention the idiotic full screen apps. Even though now you can split them up a little bit.
Except that's the future.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, if you have a big monitor, you got a big app that's this big, you don't need it that big. You want to have
is nobody's going to have big monitors anymore.
Well, you know where this is coming from, though? When I worked at Microsoft, I worked the support line, and I had to help a lady drag an icon across the screen for half an hour. And that's who uses
Windows.
Sure
she wasn't up to something?
I don't know, man. Yeah. It's really hard to help normal people use a computer. And we in this room all forget that we are so advanced.
It's not that hard.
It's really hard.
12-year-olds can do it.
No, it's really hard.
No, John,
it is really
you
hard.
Don't.
I agree.
Okay, you guys can be part of this. Part of this.
This is why
bashing the computer scene and oh god, the DOS prompt is so complicated.
You got to admit, sitting down at a tablet, there's the kids immediately grok a tablet. Nobody
they grok it.
They can sit
not
down
on my watch.
They can sit down in an iPad, and they know how to use it. 2-year-olds know how to use it intuitively.
Yeah, I have a 2-year-old, and that's what we do every day. We spend a little bit of time. He plays flashcards.
Put that 2-year-old in front of Windows 8.1. I don't think you're going to have the same result.
Well, actually, the Surface tablet he can use it has the tile screen, right?
So he's as proficient with it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, except where's the YouTube app? That's the first thing my kids look for.
But they're older, right?
I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old.
My
point is if he got thrown into OS X's desktop or the Windows 8 desktop or any other Linux desktop, they would just walk away. It's just broken.
So I started all this because Microsoft has pulled back.
This is just another example of dumbing down the public. I end with that thought. You may continue. I'm sorry.
Chat room, what do you say? What's the aggravation scale now?
Let's get a meter reading.
Am I high? No, I'm not high.
Yeah. Windows 8.1, the Surface upgrade has been pulled by Microsoft because it did brick. You're lucky, Anil. It bricked a lot of people.
Yeah, and they pulled it off, right?
They've pulled it. You cannot upgrade your RT.
Oops.
A little bit of a black eye.
A situation has arisen.
Here's the situation.
What's the situation?
The situation is it messes with the boot sector. So that you essentially, it puts you into a loop. You can't boot the machine once you've done this.
Yeah,
I think Anil downloaded the finished gold bits, right? You got the gold bits, the finished gold bits.
Which, by the way, Dwight, I believe what Anil did is probably what they did at Microsoft. All the self-testing that went on at the company, they never went from zero to two.
Yeah.
They all did the 1, 2, 3 steps.
I have a story about the first iPhones.
Before you do that, quick tip. Make your recovery disk before you upgrade anytime. Yeah. If you have a recovery on Surface RT, it's a snap to go back and fix it. But if you didn't make your recovery,
nobody does that.
Go borrow somebody else's because that's what
I think John's exactly right. They all tested like I did, and they didn't think about what an actual consumer would do.
Yeah. But there's no recovery disk on Windows RT.
No.
You can make a flash drive.
Go get somebody else's, in other words. You either do it on that machine or you don't do it.
Oh, is that true? Right. You can't use somebody else's? Yeah,
it's personal to you.
How ironic.
That's not good.
Apple internally.
Story.
Well, when they were launching the first iPhone, back then, before they were launched, they hand graded about 100 of the first prototypes, and they had them in piles. And the best ones, right before launch, didn't have any software on them, and they loaded the software, and it burned the best four iPhones dead. So they used those four iPhones in the stands where you couldn't touch them.
Smart. And they painted the icons on by hand. A little tiny brush.
My next door neighbor was on the first iPhone team. He told me those stories.
The great New York Times story we referred to a couple of weeks ago.
He was the guy in that story.
He's the guy in the story? Yeah. What a tale he told.
Yeah.
We're going to have Nick Bilton on next week. He's writing the book about Twitter. He's going to tell some of those stories. And then Fred Vogelstein. Want to get him on.
Yeah.
And then there's this new Amazon book.
Brad Stone.
By Brad Stone. There are three great kind of – I've been waiting for these behind-the-scenes stories a la Stephen Levy's famous Soul of the New Machine.
I got the Amazon one and the Twitter one, and they're both good.
Just great stuff.
I have my best friend is the guy in the Apple book. So – he's been telling me these
stories.
Can't
wait to read it.
It is great.
Well, and there's some real reporting. I mean, that's the thing I love about these books. Yeah. They are the real reporting. You look at I complain all the time about the tech blogs and how superficial and stupid they are. This is the opposite extreme, right? This is like years of interviews with all kinds of people from the company, you know, people that left the company. It's like, that's the thing I love is people putting in the work.
Can't wait to read them. You know, I'm reading right now is Dave Eggers' new The Circle,
which
is basically a romanza clef about Google. And
Facebook a little bit too.
And I can't tell. Is it Facebook? Is it Google? Is it Apple? The founder wears a hoodie, so maybe it is Facebook. It's a great novel, though.
Yeah. Oh. Wasn't Soul of a New Machine by Kidder?
Tracy Kidder, you're right. What was Stephen Levy's? Oh, he did Hackers.
Yeah, Hackers.
That's
Hackers.
Right. I just love those embedded reporter stories. There was another one called Showstopper. Pascal Zachary, your buddy. Wrote that. It was all about the creation of Windows NT.
Windows NT.
Right.
Yeah.
I love those embedded reporter or heavily researched reporter stories about the beginnings of things.
By the way, I love Amazon because if you go to any of those three books,
it'll tell you about
my book at the bottom.
That's good.
It says people who buy this book also buy my book.
Plugs in.
No, I don't care about the plug. As long as I'm on that Amazon page.
That's really the best place to be, isn't it? We should mention Robert's newest book just came out. It's his second book with Shel Israel. This is called Now the Age of Context, Mobile, Sensors, Data, and the Future of Privacy. Timing's pretty good on this.
Yeah, very, very good.
I'll tell you what, but you got a log roll by Vic Gundotra on there. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Well, he was one of the inspirations.
I think you spelled his name wrong on the back.
That's fixed on. Okay. So what's
it would be probably
nice spot, Leo.
The reason you got the free ones is because these are the early copies.
Oh, thanks, Scoble. Probably a bunch. Actually, inside it's all empty.
Blank paper.
Yeah. Review galley.
Yeah, it's a good barcode.
What?
One thing, you know, we
scan the Amazon, barcode for the corrected edition.
We self-publish and Amazon prints this book for us.
Oh, really?
And so we don't have a book publisher. And Amazon
That's where an editor really makes a difference.
Well, you know. We have three editors, actually. We hired our own editors.
That's the way to do it, sure.
This got on in your box in 2 weeks after we finished the book.
That's cool.
And most book authors have to wait 3 months, 6 months.
Did you use a Squarespace template for the pages, or is this...
We use whatever Amazon does for you.
That's nice.
You hand them a Word... Well, you take Word doc into Adobe...
Do you mail these out? Because if you did, you might want to be thinking about stamps.com.
I actually do mail out some.
I think anybody who does a lot of mailing, it'd be crazy to go to the post office, buy stamps.
It's nuts, Leo. It's nuts.
And tell me if you do this, John, because I do this. If you're mailing a package, you don't know exactly what it is. You don't want to send it postage due, so you always put a little extra. Like, I know it's not going
to
be.
I don't even know if they do postage due anymore. I think they just send it back to you.
No, I've gotten postage due, and it's very embarrassing to the sender. I got to give you a nickel to get my package. So I always put like an extra buck or so.
Oh, you're just one of those guys.
Overpay.
Yeah, you overpay. That's bad.
Stupid.
You have to be a squanderer to do that.
And I'm no longer a squanderer. Now that I have the USB scale from stamps.com, I know exactly what the postage is. In fact, stamps.com will even look at the thing and suggest a class of mail to use. If the postage rates go up, which they seem to do at random times, it will automatically update. You don't have to. You know, with a postage, I just found out with a postage meter, you have to bring it to the post office to update the rates. Yeah. That's kooky.
Yeah. Plus, kooky is exactly what I was thinking.
Ink.
Yeah. John plays. I saw a stamp with a picture on it the other day. Can you get those done at stamps.com?
Yes, you can have your picture on it.
My wife thought that was so cool.
I think that'd be scary.
She's like, how did she talk to the government into putting her picture on it?
I have Leo stamps. It's great. Well, and also stamps.com will print on the envelope. If you're mailing, something in an envelope, it'll print your return address. It'll print your logo. It'll print, it takes the address from QuickBooks. If you do Amazon, eBay, Etsy, PayPal, any of those, it'll take it from there. If you do international mailing, fills out the forms ahead of time.
Holy crap.
And... isn't this amazing?
I'm telling you, I'm in.
It's going to be harder to tell.
I've always liked stamps.com, by the way.
John, I just love it.
I have enjoyed this company since they began.
I just play to him. Did you know this? I bet you didn't. Postage meter ink is 100 times more expensive than inkjet ink, which is already overpriced.
Whoa.
You're telling me the Pitney Bowes.
Yeah. Don't mention a name.
The competitors.
But for example,
the competitors with the stamps.com, the old school people.
Yeah.
What you're telling me is that they're making money on the ink to the extent that the inkjet printer people are?
Yeah. More than.
More.
100 times.
It's a scandal.
Have you ever seen somebody bringing their postage meter into the post? It looks like they've got a nuclear core. In the box.
You have to have two people to carry it.
It's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. They have a handcuff, the briefcase that carries the ink.
You'd be insane. Yeah. Go to stamps.com. We get everything you need. In fact, but the key is you're going to see this $80 value. You can say, oh, there's the scale and a lovely young lady pointing at it. I'm going to click her. Do not. You click on the microphone at the top there. Enter in the offer code TWIT. Press go, and instead of that lovely lady, you get this.
Oh, my God. You should have a model instead of your ugly mug on there.
I know. I'm apologizing for that, but look what happened to the value. It went from an $80
Holy mackerel.
Offer to $110. We give you $55 in free postage.
How can they afford this?
I don't even understand how that works.
Venture capital.
Free digital scale. You get a supply kit and a four-week trial, of course. Stamps.com.
I think most people that do Etsy have this already.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be crazy not to. It's the only way to do it.
Unless you really love your post office, which I don't know anybody who does.
I used to go to the post office.
I love my post office. I have a great post office. Seriously. They move along. They got people in and out. It turns out that the post office is kind of a federalist system. So every individual post office is managed separately. It's not like
– that explains a lot because ours, these guys move at the snail's pace.
Yeah.
You wait in line, and then they go clamp, close the doors, and take a break.
It's very interesting. If you look into the structure of the post office, it's a very un – a centralized operation. So you have the individual postmasters at the various little post offices kind of run their own fiefdom. And so you have a crap postmaster in your place, you're going to get crap service.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. That's
why
it varies.
I only use stamps.com instead.
Yeah. Well, or if you have a good post office, you don't have. What is this?
No, you
got
can
here?
Just take the.
We're having an unboxing. Just even while John and I are talking. By the way, I love
Scoble's bored.
Stimpy in the chat room says, "I don't use postage, man. I can." Stimpy catches.
I'm not an Etsy user.
Though. I imagine Leo and John playing checkers on the porch of a country store in Vermont, drinking grape knee highs and graping.
Who is this maniac?
He's nailed us. I think that's exactly right. So what? You brought this from Oakley. Oakley. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. What's the relationship of Oakley to Red? Because he started Red, right?
Yeah, the founder of Oakley sold Oakley.
He sold Oakley.
To
Luxottica owns Oakley, too?
Yeah,
they own everything.
And they're making these
charming
ski goggles. Now, the ski goggles aren't what's interesting.
Is there anything you won't put on your head, Robert?
Don't ask. Just,
I'm not judging.
There's not much.
Yeah, I admire that, actually. Look,
see, not much.
The next generation.
I couldn't afford the real thing, so I've got the box.
Come to Burning Man, man. Come to Burning Man. You'll find out what still goes on my head.
We don't want to know.
So what makes the... Now, they had USB goggles that you could play your iPod.
Yeah. So inside here, and I don't know where I should hold this to put it on camera.
Well, we want to put it on camera, so here.
But inside here, there's a Recon Instruments computer with a screen.
Oh, it's Google Glass.
Well, it's similar to Google Glass, and it has a computer and a sensor. And
so it tells you how fast you're falling?
It tells you how fast you're going, how long your hang time was, where you are on the mountain. And if you give all your kids the Airtime app on their Android or iOS phone, you can see where they are on the mountain.
Wow.
And chat with them and do.
Sonny Bono would have loved these.
He needed.
Well, he needed a helmet.
Oh,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's helmet. A pretty bad joke, Leo.
That was
I've never heard anything
very
like that.
Very bad. Very bad.
I think we should only insult him about the copyright law. Not
anyway. Yeah. I'm going to the Consumer Electronics Association on Tuesday, and this is some of the stuff that they're.
How much do they weigh? Is it like a bowling ball or?
No, this is light. It's a ski goggle. It's the same.
Okay.
Same,
right.
Weight as a ski goggle.
You don't know. Like they might just. Like they used to make those things that weigh 20 pounds. Like the
no, this is very light. They're actually surprisingly light. Yeah. But what's interesting is that the same kind of. I mean, this is basically a stock screen you can get anywhere. Is it the same kind of screen that
it's
Google Glass?
Similar.
Uses?
It's a small screen. It's not a wraparound.
You know who
screen.
We had on Triangulation on Wednesday, and if you haven't watched it, you should. Is Jerry Ellsworth? They're doing the new Cast AR, the augmented reality glasses. They're very. The idea is amazing. She invented it at Steam.
Yeah.
When Steam fired her. She went into Gabe Newell and she said, "Can I just take these with me?" And he said, "Yes," which is unheard of. They have so you're wearing they look like sunglasses, and over each eye there are two projectors, little pico projectors, the kind you'd see on the cell phones.
Yep.
And then over your nose there's a camera, and it projects onto. You have to have a screen surface. It projects onto it. The camera is looking at special. LEDs that so they know how your head is positioned.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You're looking, you can see the real world, it's their heads up, but you're also seeing a display on top of it. It's very interesting.
There's another startup called Meta, which is doing two screen glasses for gaming and stuff. So
I really a lot of believe in wearables. Coming. I don't think that the Google Glass is it. I played with the Galaxy Gear for a while. Yeah. It's not quite there. The Pebble, not
well, first
quite
of all,
there.
This is a prototype. So when we see the shipping product in March, let's say.
You think that soon?
Yeah, we're going to see it by May. You're going to be able to buy them by May. Otherwise, Google really will miss the market.
But, because Apple will in June or sometime.
They're coming out with the iWatch. You know?
See, is there a market, Anil, do you think?
Meh. No.
I agree.
You know, I disagree. Meh.
I agree. The watch is
not a 2014 market, but I've shown them to 800 people. I was at the Pumpkin Festival in Half Moon Bay today. People were stopping
the
me.
The Pumpkin Festival?
Oh, yeah.
Today. And you came all the way up here from Half Moon Bay?
All the way.
Wow.
From Half Moon
That's
Bay.
Like 2 hours.
It was 2 hours and 15 minutes because of the traffic from the Pumpkin Festival.
Oh, thank you for coming.
So the Pumpkin Festival, they were all goo-goo gaga over something?
People love wearing these.
Oh, because you had the glasses on.
You know what?
And they were pumpkin colored.
Now, that's a novelty. You'd get the same attention if you were 10 feet tall or painted blue.
This is easier than paying myself blue. So.
I mean, what I'm just saying is you're a freak. It doesn't mean they're really wanting
you. No,
you're
people put them on and they say this is the coolest thing. I recorded some high school girls in audio. You can.
There's the problem right there.
High school girls.
Yeah, that is the issue.
Boy,
I thought they were going to give me crap, so I started recording.
Give you what?
I thought they walked by me and started whispering. I thought they were going to call me a dork or something.
So you're the only one who hasn't waited.
No, one of them was going to crawl up behind you and one's going to push you.
No one would call you a dork. So, Dwight Silverman, you're the only one that hasn't weighed in. We have a meh, a yay, a meh, and a meh. Wearables, what do you think?
Not yet. I think it will be a big deal, but none of what we're seeing right now is what is going to catch on ultimately. Yeah. I don't think that – I've tried Google Glass, and you get that kind of initial, oh, my God, this is cool. And then the more you use it, the more you run into the obstacles for it being truly useful. You know, Robert's an enthusiast, but you put it on the head of people who, like, want to do it to actually do things, and I think it becomes more clunky than useful. And the same thing is true of the Galaxy Gear. Galaxy Gear is a great proof of concept, but it is not there yet. And I think we haven't yet seen what actually is going to work, but I think it will happen.
I wear a Nike Fuel Band every day. It's a great watch. It gets me off the couch. That's good enough.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the problem is you guys haven't seen what this is going to be.
But like a watch is.
The problem is you haven't seen what this is going to be. This is the first consumer electronics device that knows where I'm aimed full time, right? It comes on.
You're talking about the glass.
And where I'm looking. There's an eye sensor here, neither of which have been turned on yet. There's games, for instance, that I've seen built that were hacked into the glass where aliens come off the ceiling and you shoot them just by looking at them.
This would be great for
someone
on drugs.
There's a lot of functionality to come. And that's why you can't base where the market's going to be based on this product yet.
Oh, I agree.
There's potential, but it feels like – you remember – and I'm sure, Robert, you do. Microsoft made their tablets in 2002.
I was a tablet evangelist at Microsoft. Right. So I know that.
Right. So,
took a little longer to get it off the ground.
Right. Tablets as an idea valuable? Sure. Was the product conception so far off as to be almost unrecognizable compared to what actually succeeded? Yeah.
I think in 2014, it's going to be the Apple iWatch that's going to clean up.
Yes. And,
so you think the watch? You're a big watch.
People wear watches.
Well, let's be honest. This is not done. We don't know the price. We don't know there's no app store. There's no API yet.
Go back to the Apple Watch.
The Apple iWatch is closer to being done. And the people I know have seen it say it's spectacular and it's going to blow away all the other watches in the market.
So you know people have seen it?
Yeah.
This book is kind of about this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Age of Context. So tell us what you've heard about this.
I want to hear more.
You're the only one in the world who's seen people who...
It has a curved glass screen with the Willow glass from Corning. Corning's the glass manufacturer.
Right, we know that.
Gorilla Glass, right? And they have this new flexible glass.
We know that too.
And it's the new watch is very beautiful and uses this flexible glass with a really nice screen on it. And it's going to be fashion. Why did they just hire the lady from Burberry?
Hannah Arendt, CEO
from Burberry. What's her name? Arnett?
Arendts. Not Hannah Arendts. That's another person.
Yeah, but she's
and
the
they've
CEO.
Also hired somebody from Levi's who also is
and they hired the guy from Nike, right? So they're building a stable of talent at Apple that's all about lifestyle and fashion. And there's a big hint there.
Yeah.
There's a big hint there.
The fact that they hired an executive from the CEO of Burberry.
Which is weird.
To be a senior vice president at Apple, which shows how Burberry and Apple are related. But what she did is took a fairly stuffy British brand and make it hip. Yeah. You see the Burberry tartan everywhere now. It is a fashion look. And so...
Well, and it's in pop songs, right? It's in rap songs. It's in...
Yeah.
It's in,
yeah.
Top 40 hits.
Angela Arendts. So she's the new head of retail at Apple. And more than retail, she gets digital as well.
Yeah.
So she gets the iTunes store. She gets the App Store. This is a big hire. And I think you're right. I think it's saying Apple saying my take on it was Apple saying we're not a technology company. We're not a computer company. We've kind of ridden that horse as far as it's going to go. We're now a fashion company.
Or a lifestyle brand.
And that, to me, as a geek, that's like, well, the heck with that. I'm not going to buy Beats headphones either.
But that's what culture has done with technology.
I agree. Well,
it's where we're going. It's the Cornell of the Macintosh.
Look at Oakley, right? What is Oakley? Yeah. Oakley is a lifestyle brand. Yeah. And now they're putting technology in this lifestyle brand. That's why I find what Oakley's doing is very interesting.
I think it's a smart move for Apple.
Apple's been doing this kind of thing for fashion and technology for a long time. I mean, just look at the way the iPhone looks and has looked from the beginning, and the design of the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro. They are, you know, people carry them. They're fashion. They've been fashion statements for a long time.
Yeah.
The other thing is the watch industry is really, really big. People forget there are billions and billions of dollars spent on dumb watches. So how much are we going to spend on smartwatches as the market grows? A lot.
And I would make a bet of somewhere around 50 million units in the first year.
Well, yeah, and there's this audience of people that go to, you know, they buy at auction a watch for $500,000 because it's super rare and collectible.
Yeah.
For those people to say, I'm going to spend $400 or $500 on an Apple watch is nothing.
All we're doing is witnessing the insanity of Western civilization.
Are you wearing a watch?
No, of course not. I'm wearing a watch. I have a pocket watch.
I have a Nike Fuel Band.
How many? Both of those are more something else than a watch. How many in our audience are wearing watches? 1, 2, 3, 4,
half
five.
The audience.
Half the audience.
I didn't wear a watch for 20 years until
seven.
Fuel Band.
All right.
The band is also.
Let me ask you this. What if, Chad, if you'll take my screen, the watch were gold?
What is this you've got?
Watch it. So to speak.
Watch it.
Can you name this product?
I'm not the target audience for this product.
Boiled beets.
Oh, the gold iPhone.
It's the gold iPhone ad. Apple released that today. Wow.
Gold iPhone.
Here's something else
Apple's doing that you got to watch. They're sticking low-energy Bluetooth beacons into the baseball parks. Do you know what these things are?
That sounds painful. I don't know. Because last time you were on, you were talking about putting these beacons in the Ritz-Carlton at the Apple Day.
Yeah, we are.
These illegal beacons.
Illegal beacons. And so as you walk around.
This is using low energy.
Low Bluetooth. Energy. How many people have an iPhone with iOS 7?
Yeah. Oh, the same people.
By the way,
watching.
You are already carrying.
What a weird group.
You're already. Anybody who has iOS 7 on an iPhone is already carrying one of these low energy Bluetooth beacons.
Even the older iPhones did this. Yeah.
And it spits an identifier into the air if you turn it on. Which
isn't that what you want? An identifier, so wherever you go.
Yeah, so if anybody's out there, ads can pop shoot up.
You know what it's going to do with the watch. Your watch
ads.
You're going to get close to somebody and hang out with the three of us, right? And the color of the watch is going to start changing. So the gold is
like a mood ring.
It's fashion.
Holy crap.
It's fashion.
Holy
mackerel. You know what? All I got to say is fashion has done very well. People will buy a $1,000 dress because the hemline changed an inch.
It will.
This is not a bad thing from a commerce point of view. Yeah.
But from a tech point of view, it's
the end of the world. Google crosses $1,000 a share. It is now at $1,011 a share.
Yeah, it's a good
all
deal.
Because of their quarterly results. The price of the Google, you know, the price per click slid again. In fact, a deeper drop this quarter than last quarter. But they're selling a lot more of them. They've got 41% of all digital ad revenue, 53% of all mobile ad revenue. Wow. A very big quarter for Google. Revenue of $14.89 billion, up 12% year over year. Their net revenue, $11.92 billion. That's $3 billion a month.
It's not bad.
I'd take it.
I'd settle for that.
Yeah.
Tim Cook wouldn't.
And one of the reasons the stock price went up, of course, they beat analysts' expectations considerably. Yeah. So a very good quarter for Google. Larry Page had such a good quarter, he said, I'm not going to do these analyst calls anymore. I've had enough. he said something like, you know, you want me to use my time most efficiently. This is not it.
Right.
See ya.
Well, good for him.
Yep.
But that shows how powerful he is now, right? He doesn't need to do these.
He's turning into Howard Hughes.
Is his voice working yet? Again?
No. He has paralyzed vocal cords, so he's like a little bit like that.
Yeah, it'll probably never recover. Yeah. I think it's
he had it for, as a kid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's harmless, but, you know, makes you sound funny. It would be bad if it happened to me, but
you might sound better.
Hey. Hey,
people I'm Leo Laporte.
I haven't been smoking and drinking. People activate, get this, 1.5 million Android devices a day.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Although, we can talk about another number in a second. There is definitely some support for the idea that people will use Android phones, use them as phones, not as computers.
Yeah.
Talk about that in a second.
What's the new Chinese phone that just sold a million units in a couple hours or something?
Xiaomi. That's the one that.
But they're an Android phone.
Hugo Barra, Barra went to.
Yeah. Xiaomi.
they're kicking butt in China.
Yeah. No, they're going to be a player. I mean, I think they're going to come to the U.S. and I think they're going to do well. It's fun. I'm at Google right now. I'm at their open source summit for folks that work in open source projects, and it is interesting that we went by the Android building where they have all the the characters out front, the Kit Kat bar and the donut and whatever. And there's people in that building right now. I mean, it's Sunday, and that building is full. So
you bet.
That's interesting.
They don't go home.
Nope.
But what's interesting...
It's kind of like the Roach Motel.
They got free food. They got Segways.
It's the idea.
They got,
you keep them there.
They got sleep pods. So you don't have to
bikes,
go home.
These really nice bikes.
They
ride around.
You die there.
Barbers, yep. So you don't have to get a haircut. Barbers, they do your dry cleaning, You drop off your dry cleaning.
Yep. They change your oil. They told us that. They get their oil changed. Like somebody comes by and changes the oil.
Even if you don't have a car.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
Oh.
it might be, but I didn't ask. I was like, that's all I need to know. I'm good.
They'll change it in your self-driving car.
I get my oil changed weekly now.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah. Facebook ad profit. This is, a study by Nanigans, which sounds like a place you go on Friday afternoon to get a beer and some potato skins.
Get your oil changed.
Maybe get your oil changed. Nanigans says that click-through rates on its Facebook ads are up 375%. Its overall return on investment is 152%. A study of more than 200 billion ads on Facebook says mobile ads on the iPhone generate 1,790% more return on investment than ads on Android. And this is part of an onslaught.
I've heard this from several entrepreneurs.
Apps make more money. Yeah. Ads make more money.
I believe this.
And all you have to do is walk into the first class section on a plane, and you see mostly iPhones, and that's why.
Nanigans.
The rich people have iPhones, and therefore they are the ones who monetize through ads.
Well, and also, I think there's a lot of evidence that a lot of the Android phones in use are really just used as phones. They're basically
not by the first-class users. The people who are in the first class, and they throw off these stats, right?
Right.
If you're a billionaire and you click on an ad and you buy a
I'm still
Tesla,
waiting for the Nexus 5.
You throw off all the stats for the rest of us, right?
Yeah.
Or what kind of car do you get? Audi.
An Audi.
An Audi.
I had an Audi, but I got an Audi. Now.
Oof.
What happened to your Mustang?
He still has it.
I still have that. No, Lisa drives that. But I thought...
You got an 8.
Okay, you know what happened?
An
I got a little
8.
Old.
You didn't get like the cool 5, and which would be also a little less showy.
This is not showy.
It's a big 8. Those things are like huge.
Did you get custom rims?
It's a limo-sized car.
Did you get Doves?
No. Stop. Stock. Well, stock is that's an expensive car.
Yeah, that is.
Well, what are you looking at me for?
Well, congratulations. We're jealous.
It's a nice car. Everybody thinks I should have bought a Tesla. I'm not going to buy an electric car yet.
I hear car talk, and it sounds to me like you were saying about fashion. I'm like, I'm glad that's a big market.
Right.
I understand it's an important product.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right. And although the Audi has a ton of technology, it isn't like anywhere cutting edge. Although it's kind of cool because between my RPM and my speedometer, I have a heads-up display at night of pedestrians.
Oh, fantastic.
So I can hit them a little bit. I could just I can wing them.
You can wing them. That's what you want to do.
I used to be running them over. Now I just wing them.
Yeah, no, winging them's the way to go.
And it's good.
There's Leo coming.
It really hovers. It really holds the road. So you really got that. You could just snare.
Do you have the rear wheels that turn too?
The whole thing. I don't know. It's great.
It's only got 3 wheels.
Does it tell you how many points you get when you hit them?
Yeah. It makes a neat sound. It goes ching.
So Leo, I've been reviewing cars lately, looking at their tech, primarily looking at tech.
Yeah, Audi has a
and
lot of tech.
We're looking at cheap cars in the $25,000 or less, and it's pretty,
you can have that
pretty impressed with the tech that you have in it. But everything I've looked at so far, the technology, the operating system in the in-dash, it keeps reminding me of Windows 98.
And, I feel like it's not, they're not.
I had a.
But remember, the design cycle for cars is really slow compared to technology.
Eight years.
Yeah.
I met the guy.
Although, here's something interesting. The latest Kia Soul, the 2014 Kia Soul, which is hitting showrooms now, they have ditched the Microsoft operating system in it. I think it's similar to the one that Ford uses, and they're now using an Android-based operating system.
See, I think that's the future because it's free.
Yes. Yes, and I wonder if you could hack it or if you could add Android apps to it. That's something I'm very curious about.
The Audi, I believe, is running QNX by BlackBerry.
Yeah.
So that's going to go well.
No, that actually is the only thing in
the
BlackBerry
thing
has that's
any good.
BlackBerry should spend all their efforts going toward the car market.
Check the keys on it.
What's that?
Does it have a little keyboard with the little chiclet keys on it?
Let's take a break. You know, Tom Merritt's been working all day putting this together, so I really think we ought to pay close attention to...
Tom? Is he here?
Yeah, he's just over there. Tom, what's coming up on the week ahead?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Monday, October 21st, Netflix has their earnings. Tuesday, October 22nd, Aereo's TV streaming service comes to Android devices. Nokia announces six new devices at its Nokia Reveal event. The Surface 2 Remix project comes along with new Microsoft Surface tablets. And Apple has some sort of press conference or something. I don't know, something about tablets. Wednesday, October 23rd, AT&T has their earnings. Thursday, October 24th, Microsoft, Zynga, and Amazon all have their earnings. Friday, October 25th, the Twitter Roadshow starts in anticipation of their stock IPO. And Saturday, October 26th, two events. TechCrunch Disrupt kicks off in Europe, and the Stop Watching Us rally against mass surveillance happens. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Previously on Twit, Security Now.
The NSA has secret servers on the internet that hack into other computers, codenamed Fox Acid.
This week in Google.
It's like there's a countdown to Kit Kat.
The countdown is coming, but we don't know what the countdown is. Coming soon. Countdown. Hey, this is the most useless piece of information ever.
Triangulation.
This is Cast AR.
Yes, this is projected augmented reality glasses.
Wow.
All about Android.
Like a maniac.
KitKat Google Plus account put up a little image of KitKat guy, and it said, everybody dance now.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it.
Twit. It's like the screensavers and Silicon Spin had a baby.
Hey.
Hey.
What is this?
So, I forgot to mention the Nokia event. October 22nd is going to be a crazy day. Tom, remind me that there's a Nokia event on the same day.
Oh, that's good timing.
They're going to announce what, their 8-inch tablet or something.
Surely they'll dominate the day's news.
It's like all over tech meme.
Crazy.
It's all Nokia on tech
meme. Nokia everywhere.
What was that we just watched anyway?
What did you watch on Tuesday?
That was a house ad.
Why are you running house ads? You got people that pay you money. You don't get anything. You get no compensation for running a house ad. And they're a symbol. They're a sign of desperation.
Could be worse. I could be running public service announcements.
No,
well, that would really be bad.
I thought that was great. That gave me a great overview. Like, yeah, I always intend to watch all the shows. I don't get all the shows. I was like, oh, that was good. And I mean, like,
thank you.
Gina is on two of those shows, and she's my co-founder, and I didn't catch all of the clips yet.
You got to watch her on This Week in Google and All About Android.
I know. I just, you know,
she's really good. You know what?
She's amazing. She's the best.
Who doesn't love Gina Trapani? I mean, she's
you'd
really
have to be
fabulous.
A monster.
Yeah. You're a horrendous, horrible person.
You have
we will
to
do
be a
live.
Monster.
We won't be doing live coverage of the midnight Microsoft Store openings for Surface 2. We probably won't be doing live.
This is a big disappointment.
I know.
You're not camping out?
I'm not
getting
up at
midnight. Think of all the hits you're giving up.
We will not be doing live coverage.
Think of all the traffic you could have had.
3 a.m. Nokia announcements from Finland.
There's at least 50 people in the world who are totally pissed at you right now.
I will be up at 9:30 a.m. promptly to do at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern time to do our 10 o'clock Apple event. I don't know yet if Apple's going to stream. The last time they were at Herba Buena Center, they did stream. So we're hoping they'll stream. If they do, we'll carry the stream, and then we'll put silhouettes of our heads in front of it as we comment on the what we are pretty sure is going to be new iPads and possibly a new Mac Pro.
I'm not going.
You're not going to go?
No, I'm speaking to the Consumer Electronics Association.
Oh, that'll be fun. Where's that, in Vegas?
No, Southern California.
Southern California.
Los Angeles.
Right. And Neil, you were saying something. I'm sorry. What?
Oh, I was saying you promised to wake up at 12:30 New York time.
Exactly.
Which is, well, that's a bold statement. I wake up a little afternoon.
I don't get up early.
That's my commitment.
I don't get up early for you. Microsoft.
No, I nor should you.
Windows 9, I might. I'll reserve the right to do that. What do you, Apple says we have a lot to cover. A lot of people looked at that invite. You had it there a second ago, Chad, and it looks like the peacock, the NBC peacock, was shot in the tail. So my guess is that this is all about, no, it's not, has nothing to do with NBC.
Well, usually in their titles, they put a little hint of what's coming.
So colorful covers.
No, if they say they have a lot to cover, maybe the screen really goes edge to edge and you have to put a new kind of cover on it.
Oh, you're really stretching on that.
I don't know.
Time travel.
And yeah, wouldn't it be fun to get somebody from the future back here and tell us?
Are they going to bring the watch out? That's
no. A, they won't show the watch. They won't mention the watch. There will be no watch. They will not mention Apple TV, even though people think they will. I think that's
By the way, I heard you're right. I heard the TV product slipped to March.
It's too small a product. They can't get the networks to join in. It's just not going anywhere. I do think they may surprise people with the lack of a Retina iPad update. The mini, I'm afraid, will not be Retina. But that's my fear.
Why would you buy a new mini then?
Well, because, and this is what I think has to do with they're going to be like the 5C. They're going to have color backs. Now how much would you pay?
Wow.
Now I know why I'm not going.
Yeah.
And
update the iPad?
They're going to put a Retina mini out there. Come on.
There'll be a Retina mini, but you'll still be able to buy the non-Retina mini, and it'll be like $199.
Yeah. You know, Apple never does that. Never. I don't think
they're. No, they do. They do it with the phone.
They do it, but that's different. That's because they're subsidizing that through.
There's more competition.
And they have done it with their with the full size iPad. They've made the previous generation.
They did do that.
Less expensive.
Wasn't much less expensive. It was $100 less. Yeah.
And they'll do that with this. I think.
The only product I'm hoping for is a Mac Mini. I've got a Mac Mini. It's long in the tooth. I'm like, that's a great product. And
didn't they just update
those? The $10,000 Pro.
They did not. So last October 23rd, last year, they updated everything that they hadn't updated, everything but the iPhone. You know what we haven't mentioned? This is traditionally the iPod announcement. Do you think they'll update the iPod?
Probably. No, iPod's dead.
It's dead.
Yeah, there's nothing left.
Here's the product of the, you know, that was killing them all 5 years ago.
And they obsoleted it themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bet they will update the Mini. They'll do a Haswell Mini.
I guess the Touch is Retina now, right? The iPod Touch.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah. So there's nothing. Yeah. I mean, we don't even know.
You could put a better camera in it.
Yeah. If this group of dudes doesn't know.
Will they do a fingerprint sensor in the big iPad? I think they ought to. I don't know if they'll be able to.
I would assume.
Eventually, but probably not now because it's not.
I bricked it.
All you have to do if you want to unlock it, just put it on that Motorola sticker right there and it unlocks it.
Who?
NFC.
No, I should never have shown him that. So the 2014 Chevy Camaro, Volt, and Malibu will be talking Siri. Siri, they call it Eyes Free.
Eyes Free. What does that even mean? Free.
It's a bad name.
I have a Siri button.
Very bad name. It's a jinx. It's a curse.
I have a Siri button in my car.
Do you? Do you have a BMW?
No, it's a little button you can. I forget.
He drives a little button?
Honda has said it's going to do it in 2013 models. BMW is doing it.
It's not as good as the Moto X, though.
Is this like AirPlay, like you can send the music and stuff through it?
No. You talk to the phone through the Chevy MyLink service, and you can get Siri.
It's basically a button, a button on the dash that turns on Siri so you can talk to Siri.
Hello, Siri.
Siri.
Oh, okay.
So automotive.
Call a Neil.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Meh.
Most of the cars now that have Bluetooth have some kind of voice recognition, and they're terrible. And if this improves that, if this essentially takes care of the voice recognition in a car, not that Siri's great, you know, iOS 7 version is a lot better, but it certainly would beat what's in cars now because most of it is awful.
I have a nice German lady in my car. She said, "What would you like?"
Is that right?
No.
This is
I wish it were. Though.
I still think third party voices is the way to go in these things.
You know, on my TomTom, I had Arnold Schwarzenegger. I would tell you, do a turtle right here. And then the best one, though, was GLaDOS, you know, from the Portal games. Yeah, and she would lie to you.
So it's brilliant. You're so beautiful.
Take a right.
She would say, take a right here. And then she would say, "There's cake waiting for you." And it was great, but it was not useful because
you get lost or killed.
I remember Garmin the worst used could happen. To have a thing. You could buy voice, and like you could get Snoop Dogg, and he would give you directions. Yeah. Like you know, turn left on this drizzle.
I think some old grandma would be funnier.
I had Dennis Hopper's voice for a while, and he was like the stone. Oh man, he'd say, "You've arrived at your destination. Why would anyone want to go here?" TomTom really owned that. Yeah, I paid great like $4 bucks for each of those. It was great. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Were they imitators of, was it an imitation or was it the actual voice?
Well, God, I don't know. It could have been Dennis Hopper. It sounded just like him. Be nice. Give him a little money.
One of them was selling the real thing with the celebrities. I don't remember if it was TomTom.
Yeah, no. TomTom was selling real celebrity voices, but they were also doing some impersonations.
Ah, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Any truth to this? According to 9 to 5 Google, Google Watch is coming.
Yeah.
KitKat, Google Now functionality built into a watch.
Well, Google bought a company called WIMM Labs, W-I-M-M.
Yeah.
And they built a platform for wearables, and that's rumors.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It would be called GEM. It's a Nexus watch. Yeah. The rumors are that it might come out with a KitKat announcement, which is later this month. So that's Android 4.4. So that would be very interesting if they jumped the gun on Apple and offered a Google Watch.
Yeah, let's be honest, Apple's going to clean up its market.
Yeah, I mean the rush to market is not the way to go.
From what I hear, Apple has a beautiful product coming out.
But will it have Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice?
And Google has no distribution. Where are you going to buy a Google Watch? Right. Apple has stores, right? And we're going to wait in line for them.
Yeah, not only that, a fashion product, you want to go to a store and see, right? If you're going to spend hundreds of dollars on a fashionable product, you want to put it on your wrist and show it off and say, how does this look before you do it?
A watch should be fashionable. That's the only people who buy watch. Well, I shouldn't say many of the people who buy watches buy them as fashion statements now. So
yeah,
I think
a lot of these, these newer smartwatches are super ugly. They're not just a little bit ugly.
They are super ugly.
The Samsung watches for
the Gear.
The gear at least is functional.
It's got a camera on it. Yeah, you've got a touch screen.
It still looks like an engineer built it.
Well, yeah, but
that's because an engineer built it.
I don't think they need to put an hour hand on it because the battery doesn't last that long. Not okay?
Is that right? Is that true?
No, it's like a three-hour battery.
Somebody mentioned the Pebble.
I've got a Galaxy Gear right here.
Somebody mentioned the Pebble in the
chat. It's just really clunky, you know? It's like thick.
You can't even look straight at it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of,
remember the original Pulsar watches, the red LED watches from the 70s when there were the first digital watches?
I have one of them. I have a Fairchild.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works great. Those were the days when you had to show it off because it was a fashion item. You'd have to lift your arm up and then push the button, and then the time would show up
that's
in red.
The Galaxy Gear. You have to lift it up and press the button.
Yeah,
in high school, I had the Casio calculator watch. Remember that?
Yeah. I got that thing at a garage sale. Somebody was just sitting there. I said,
"I think the Gear would have cleaned up in 1982."
Maybe.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Dave Mac mentioned the Pebble, and I think the Pebble is the winner today. But
everybody who's seen this Apple watch says
Pebble is not going to be the watch anybody.
How much will the Apple?
And also, Pebble doesn't have a brand that normal people know anything about.
Even if you had just the functionality of Pebble, but you were curved glass, you would win. Yeah. But how much? $500? $400? $300?
I don't know.
$350?
I don't know.
$399? I think $399.
$400.
You could do $400. If it does very little and doesn't have too many sensors in it, doesn't need a lot of compute, you know, $299, $350.
Keep in mind it's not going to be subsidized because it's not a phone.
Right.
So it has to come out.
Will it require a phone? Will it require a phone, as all these others do?
Yes.
Yeah, they could. I mean, there's no reason because
it'll
Apple
have
has
low
so
energy Bluetooth
because it'll work with an iPhone.
It talks back and forth to
but it'll only work with an iPhone.
Probably.
It'll probably only work with iPhone 5 because of low energy, right?
Yeah.
Right. You'll have to have a decent. Well,
The 4S,
if you want all the features.
And the 5 works with the watch. I think the 5 has low energy. You don't think you need a 5S. I think you need a 5, though.
Yeah, I think a 5 is where Bluetooth 4 came in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix. Go ahead.
Mr. David's right. 4S had low energy Bluetooth.
4S
too. But the newer phones have a little bit better radio, if I remember right.
Low energy. Lower energy. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix, who do GoToMeeting, the most powerful online and most popular online meeting software out there. You could share the same screen with the clients and colleagues. It's, you know, meetings happen. That's my new bumper sticker. Meetings happen. A last-minute opportunity, a work emergency, or maybe, and Lisa does this, our CEO, if more than 5 emails go back and forth on a topic, she says, that's it. We're getting you in the same room because we're wasting time going dithering. That's what meetings are great for. They can cut through it. If they're done right, they can be very efficient. GoToMeeting means you can meet with people everywhere on the road, all over the country, all over the world, quickly, efficiently, effectively. You're seeing the same screen. With the HD faces, you're seeing each other, so it's like meeting in person. You can now try GoToMeeting. You don't need a credit card. Absolutely free. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and use our offer code TWIT. You won't need to give them any credit card or anything. You can sign up today for 30 days absolutely free. You can start or attend GoToMeeting anywhere from a Mac, a PC, a smartphone, even a tablet. You can actually present from an iPad sitting in your backyard or anywhere. GoToMeeting, unlimited meetings with a flat rate monthly fee. No credit card needed for the first 30 days. Give it a try. You know what? I'm really thrilled that they did that. We actually said, make this easy. Just let them sign up. Don't ask for any information. Just let them sign up. And they said, okay. So all you need is the offer code TWIT. GOTO meeting.com. Meeting is believing. Okay, I think we said everything there is to say about Apple. According to Verizon, 51% of smartphone activations are now iPhones. What do we think about the sales of the 5S versus the 5C?
No surprise, I think. I don't think there's any. I don't think anybody thought that the 5C would take off, and I'm surprised Apple, you know, that they've had to kind of rejigger their production between one to the other. I think they should have had the 5S production level higher all along. I think they were hoping maybe in developing countries there'd be more interest, but it's just not that interesting a phone.
John Patchkowski in the All Things D says the iPhone 5S, the high end, is outselling the color. Low end, 2-1.
You know, I think these things are relative, though, right? That's within Apple's universe. I think a 5C probably outsells any individual Android phone except for maybe the top-end Samsung Galaxy. And, you know, so it's a relative thing. It's like a failure for Apple is a success for almost everybody else.
Well, it's a failure of their supply chain because they have kind of misallocated, I think, their supply resources.
John says it's not selling much better than the 4S did when the 4S became the legacy iPhone with the release of the 5.
Which makes sense, right? It's not that big a jump.
It's the second choice.
It's not that big a jump over the 5, right? I mean, I have a 5S, and if I wasn't in the business,
the fingerprint's pretty awesome.
I like it, but it's not the killer feature that makes people.
No, the screen's the same. The form factor's the same. Yeah. Yeah, it's gold, but
the speed's a little faster.
It's faster.
It has the motion sensor that, you know, very little software uses yet. So the average person on the street's like, whatever. That would sound like John C. Dvorak.
A little bit.
Whatever.
Well, that's usually the case for the S series. They're usually a whatever kind of phone.
It's a marginal upgrade, yeah.
Right. But it'll be real. But you know, my suspicion is, and I think most people who watch Apple think, that with the 6, you'll actually have a substantial size increase, and that'll be the next killer feature. I think we'll go off close to 5-inch.
I wonder how they're
going to
do that, because the whole OS is, you know, every pixel on the screen is set down. It's not an expandable the developers
not
don't
scalable.
Build stuff, a scalable screen. So are they going to force developers to build all new apps for a 6-inch screen? It's like,
Well, they did with making the iPhone 5 taller.
Yeah, they had the power to do that back then. I don't know that developers are going to be like.
Are iPhone users complaining about the size?
Some are.
I think the size thing's a red herring.
I think you might be right.
A market for big phones. But it hasn't hurt them any. I don't think anybody's like, I would buy an iPhone if the screen were a little bit bigger. Either you want an iPhone or you don't.
Yeah. I think people who are switching to Samsungs now or to, well, Moto X is about the same size, but a Samsung or a...
This is a 4.7.
Any of the other
which
tablets.
Which is notably Samsung bigger than the iPhone.
Yeah, you get the little... iPhone.
It's a nice... It's only 720p. It's not... But it's so it's a little bit lower res than the iPhone.
You know, when the iPhone went to 4 inches, there was a lot of speculation, oh, will developers follow? And I think that is not a worry. I think that no matter what Apple does with it, the developers will do it, and they'll make much more interesting apps as a result of having more screen real estate.
Yeah, where's that HTC One of yours anyway? I'm just wondering.
Oh, I was going to give that to you.
Yeah.
Shoot, I left it home.
Oh.
No, you can have it. I don't care.
I'm taking it.
It's good. It's a nice phone.
Yeah, I look at every time I see one, I say, you know, that's a good looking phone.
After the show, come home with me.
Excuse me?
and I'll give it to you. Seriously.
All right, I'll take
it. It's just sitting on the shelf waiting for you.
Well, there you have it.
No, I'm waiting for the Nexus 5. I like pure Google. And I've eventually given up on the Galaxy S4 and the HTC One. The Moto X is pure enough. But Android's good enough now that I don't think you need those customizations. God, the Samsung stuff's crap. And if it's going to put me off the Note 3, which normally
I have a Samsung,
really like
but it's a Google.
Yeah, you want
the
Google
Note 3 is a wonderful phone.
Yeah, I don't like all the TouchWiz stuff.
Yeah, it's overburdened with crap. It's got a
golf mode in the camera. Come on.
Yes.
What? What does that even mean?
There's a golf swing mode in the camera.
What does that even mean?
Well, you take a picture of your golf swing and it shows every position.
Oh, it's just boom, boom, boom.
It's wasting megabytes on my already skimpy storage phone. I don't want it.
I always like the Nexus experiences better, but they're almost impossible to buy for almost any phone. My wife was a diehard Android user. Got the Nexus, you know, all the way from the G1 through the One to all these different products, the Nexus S, and then. Eventually, it was so hard to just buy a Nexus phone. She's like, I just want to go to the store, buy the phone.
Well, you go to play.google.com. You click
and
a
I'm a Verizon,
how hard is that?
I'm a Verizon guy, and I will not use AT&T. So I'm
no. You want T-Mobile. You know why? They have free international roaming.
T-Mobile doesn't work in my house, man. So
T-Mobile's
that's
great.
That's the problem with T-Mobile is there.
I love T-Mobile in here other than it doesn't work in Half Moon Bay, which is sort of where I live. So it's sort of a non...
I guess you're right.
Run a wire.
It also...
Run a wire?
T-Mobile's...
What's that?
T-Mobile service also doesn't work very well inside buildings. I would love to switch to T-Mobile. I can see a big window from my desk, and if I have a T-Mobile review phone, it's about maybe 1% of the time I can get signal off of it from in downtown Houston.
They've really
that
gotta,
should be the case.
They've got to spend some money and improve their physical plan. I mean, for somebody who travels internationally, the fact that I know it's only Edge. But the fact that you get free international roaming, I got my AT&T bill for my 3-week trip to Italy, Greece, and Turkey. It was $1,000.
Yeah, jip.
And I just, I would love to have that. I don't care if it's Edge. That's fine. I just need a little bit of access. A little bit. And that's a free. So this is the Play Store accidentally put up an ad for the Nexus 5, which looks to be another great phone. It's from LG, $350 for 16 gigabytes. That's half what comparable phones like the HTC One cost. I think these are dynamite phones, but it's delayed. I don't know if it's because the FCC was closed or what, but it's delayed apparently. Waiting for 4.4 KitKat and the Google Watch and the Nexus 4. Maybe they'll have a big announcement on October 22nd because that day is pretty well open, I think.
I think we should do our own press conference.
If you were, watch carefully. If there's a politician with a Twitter scandal or, you know, anything going on that you want to bury, 10 a.m. Tuesday, announce it to the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Is it just us?
That's only for us nerds. Yeah. The real world.
CNN is still going to report on the Wienergate.
Yeah, at CNN they're gonna say at the end of the show. By the way, there was a new tablet from Apple.
They'll cut away for 30 seconds. Yeah,
that's it.
I hate
sex scandals are the real story to them.
They really are. Well, they're the real story to all of us.
Yeah. It's interesting though that there's more satellite trucks in an Apple press conference than any other technology company.
It is, and it's pretty amazing. Twitter's going public. I'm glad to see they're going to list in the New York Stock Exchange, and they are not going to use TWIT.
So you still can.
I'm relieved. Yeah, I still can when I go public. Right. TWTR will be there.
Can I get some stock tonight?
What?
Why didn't they use Twit?
they wanted the R. They want that R.
Well, it's also close to their original name. Remember, they didn't have the vowels when they launched.
Was right.
They were TWTTR. So
I'm living in the dream world that the Twitter folks knew about Twit and didn't want to be mean.
They certainly know about Twit.
They know about Twit because we predated them. They were a podcasting company before they did Twitter. Yeah. Evan Williams told me, yeah, we knew about Twit. We just didn't think either Twitter or Twit was going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, which is fair.
Which is fair. They were right about one of them.
They both took off as unlikely.
So let's talk about Dick Costolo. You got in a – I don't know what – you are champion of the – disenfranchised all of a sudden.
You know, not really. You know, it's really simple. It's we're all like, we want everybody to have a fair shot. I don't think there's anything complicated to it. And I've known Dick a dozen years, more than that, since he had a startup back in 99 called Spy On It, which few old-timers will remember. And what it did is it would send you an instant message when your favorite website updated. If that sounds familiar.
Wow, I don't remember
and
that at all.
It was a great startup based out of Chicago. Of course, the dot-coms collapsed back in 2000, 2001, and they ended up selling to some enterprise company. But that was where we connected. A lot of early blogs. I remember Boing Boing used to have a Spy On It button. Follow us on Spy On It, and you'll get an AOL Instant Messenger update when we update. So that was cool, and that was where we connected. And I've known Dick a long time, and other folks on the Twitter board, Ev Williams, other folks like that. And, you know, I think they are and have been working earnestly to get women on the board. So, and then there's a New York Times story about, hey, they don't have any women on the board. And I think the majority of Twitter users are women, so that makes sense. So there's nothing complicated about that.
The New York Times story quoted an academic, Vivek Wadhwa, saying Twitter's imbalance was elite arrogance and the same male chauvinistic thinking that permeates Silicon Valley. And Costolo's response was Vivek Wadhwa is the carrot top of academic sources.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Vivek is a firebrand. And like anytime you're an advocate, like you need somebody who's going to be, you know, all in, just the radical kind of, right. Pounding their fist. And I think Vivek is that guy, and I appreciate him doing it. And it's sort of like, you know what, if you're all going to be billionaires anyway, like you can take a little bit of criticism. What I was surprised by knowing Dick a long time was that he would go with the sort of, you know, Vivek is carrot top. It's like either the criticism's legitimate or it's not, but I don't like that guy is sort of unrelated to the concept of, well, does it make sense to have a woman on the board of Twitter?
So you tweeted, sorely disappointed to see Dick respond defensively to criticisms of industry sexism. Why not just lead as Twitter does on free speech? And that's true. They've really led on that.
They're great on free speech. They're great on patents. They're great on a whole bunch of other issues. I think they've got incredible women who are executives at the company, like a Katie Stanton who heads up international, or Chloe Sladen who heads up media. They're incredible. So, like, you know, the company's good at this overall. And it's just like, you don't need to be defensive about this. I think
Costolo responded to you. He says I was making fun. Costolo was a comedian. I didn't know this until
that's why I believe he
was a stand-up comic.
Yeah. He thought that this was hilarious to use a Carrot Top reference because most comics think very lowly of Carrot Top.
People forget, I think a lot in Twitter, they use Twitter in a little slapdash offhand fashion, even its own CEO, and they forget that everybody's watching.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the kind of thing you'd say maybe on a panel like this.
Right, where nobody's watching.
Apparently.
Well, where you can also get the context. No, where you can get the context. Right?
Well, it is different, too, where I think if Dick had said that to me, I would have gotten as funny because we know each other a long time. I don't think he knows Vivek personally. I don't know, but I don't think he does. And certainly, yeah, I mean, Dick is really funny. He's not like a little bit funny. He's like professional grade funny. He was on Second City with, you know, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and, you know, folks that are household names. Like he's
why did
funny.
He give up the career to run this company?
I bet he probably makes a little more money than those folks.
Interesting idea. Yeah.
Also, if I could make people laugh, I would never run a company.
Yeah, well, that'll be the day.
Wasn't Costolo also Feedburner? Didn't he start Feedburner?
Oh, yeah, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's the team. The team that did Spy On It sold that company. However long they had to sit in the enterprise company, they sold that to. As soon as they left, they started Feedburner, which they said, let's try this real-time delivery of information again.
And that got bought by Google, of course.
And then and then Dick left there, and now he's like at Twitter. He started as COO, working on real-time delivery of information again. This is an obsession for all these.
You know what shocks me is that Carrot Top On his account, he has not tweeted in response in any way.
He did an interview where he said, like, why is he going after me? I don't
believe that's his real account.
He has a tweet.
I think there's a deeper...
He's so pumped up he can't actually get to the keyboard.
I think there's a deeper problem, which is finding... So board of directors are directional things. If you want to change your company and your company is going that way and you want to change it to go that way, you have to put new board members that have the skills to drive you this way. And it, you know, we've been thinking a lot about this, and it's really hard to say you need, let's say, a really hardcore mobile talent, somebody who's built a mobile company. And the women who are in that space who are really good candidates are fully booked and fully. And
oh, sure. But if
it's really hard.
Times came up with 25 people that could have on the board.
But they're hard. It is a hard problem.
I think broadly that's true. So the difference is what Twitter is going to be the hottest IPO of the year. They are a household name. Yeah. They're an important tech company. They're not struggling. Should there be more women candidates who are able to participate in boards? Yes. That's not the issue for Twitter. Whoever they ask is going to say yes. So that's
actually
not their
issue. They've got binders full of women. There's no problem. Exactly.
Binders.
And the bigger thing is for them to communicate about, we're on it. This is important.
Right.
You know, we respect this issue and we're paying attention to it. Yeah. And that's what I don't get. It's why they don't just say that. Because I'm sure, 100% sure, that's true. If they just said, we're working on it and we're going to talk about it when we can.
He just made an offhand comment, forgetting that other people read Twitter.
Yeah.
And you said something interesting, which I think is probably true, is that the majority of users on Twitter are women.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
Is it like 51% or is it larger?
I think it's 53, 55. There was a Pew report on this. I have to look at the numbers. But, you know, this was true in the early days, from the early days of blogging. This is true on Facebook. This is true on, obviously, Pinterest. This is true on Twitter. You know, it's across the board, women are more active in social media and spend more. You know, I was at a conference called Focus 100, and the stat on stage was that no group spends more through mobile on products. No sort of individual demographic spends more on mobile spending than black women in America.
Wow.
Like, stunning to me.
That is a surprise, isn't it?
And it's just there.
But that's so probably just Oprah. No, that's a bad joke. See, now, if I had said that on Twitter, I'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're in trouble now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But I think the point is, like, I think the thing that's stunning is, like, people. There are groups that really, really use the medium really well, and women are really good at using social media. And that's the thing is, like, that's not a surprise to anybody. Nobody's shocked by that, right. That's why it'll be easy for them to find somebody good. All they have to do is say, "That's what we're going
to
do."
When you are about to go with a big IPO that's going to make a lot of people a lot of money, it's easy to get somebody on your board. That's not hard.
I don't think they need to do anything.
You don't think they should respond at all?
Well, they should have shut up on this first thing.
They could have gotten.
And where are all the women chiming in? I mean, Anil Dash is like not a woman; he's a guy.
What?
Yeah, no, that's why I didn't. After that first tweet, and this is the first thing I've said about it, because I'm like, this isn't my place, and I don't need to be voice amplified on that. I sent Vivek an email too, saying, like, you know, I'm glad you feel strongly about this, but, like, I don't think there's any reason we need to be the advocates on this when I look at somebody like Rachel Sklar, or I look at, like, there's dozens of women that responded to this, and none of them got quoted in the Times. And I'm like, that's part of the problem.
Why are all the book authors of the four books we started the show with are all men?
Right.
Because you can't get work.
There we go.
So they write books. Let's do one quick ad, and then we're going to wrap this thing up with a story about Sony and Netflix. But our show today brought to you by a great thing. If you like listening, and obviously you do, Audible.com, the greatest place in the world. 150,000 audiobooks
coming out.
You're going to do an Audible? Are you reading it?
It's already done.
This book? Somebody read this book?
David, I forget his name. I'm sorry.
Oh, why didn't you ask me?
Yeah, Leo would have done it.
Chapter 3, The Customer in Context.
Beautiful.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Cheers, theme song. Footnote. And I could go on like that.
Yeah. That's
we nailing it.
When you want that?
Do you have 2 days to spend in the studio?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But they do. So
I'll let you do it.
When are they going to have it? When are they going to get it?
It should be out any day.
Any day now. Mm. Well, you might want to save your free book. Actually, you get two free books. So this is good. Are you going to go see Ender's Game? Comes out in a couple of days. If you have not read the book, please, I beg of you, listen to the book on audible.com before you have it spoiled by the movie. Ender's Game, and one of the great science fiction stories of all time with one of the most amazing twists of all time. But if you have seen the movie, it will spoil the twist, and you won't get the real experience listening to this great book. There is a 20th anniversary
edition. What's the twist?
I can't tell you that.
Why?
Because it would be, it's as bad as it would be if the movie spoils it, it would be far worse if a podcast spoiled it.
Oh, please.
I'll tell you the twist later.
Okay.
Darth Vader is his father.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that, spoilers.
This is a great choice. You get two books. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you're going to sign up for the Platinum account. It's two books a month. That's the subscription I have. I just saw World War Z. Great book to listen to. No Brad Pitt, but you know what? If you imagine it, it's better than any movie could possibly see. There is a movie tie-in edition. This has got John Turturro, Rob Reiner, Mark Hamill, Alfred Molina. Wow, this is like a production version of this. Oh, I might have to get this now. New version of this classic zombie novel is it's dramatized, star-studded cast of narrators.
That sounds fun, like old radio plays.
It is. You know what? They do a lot of this.
Oh, that's good.
There's the Lord of the Rings dramatized. There's Hitchhiker's Guide. They have lecture series, the great courses. When I was traveling, I went to Troy, and I thought, well, I should listen to the Iliad. And then I got a college course on Homer's Odyssey and Iliad as I'm walking through Troy, which is good because Troy really, you know what? It's just a bunch of rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
There really isn't a lot going on. They do have the horse.
They closed the clubs.
The wooden horse from the movie they have there, but that's about it.
It's is that right? That's true? They have a wooden horse from the movie there?
They do.
Is that what they use for storage?
The problem is it's just a bunch of rocks, and they don't even know if it was Troy or what. So if you have the wooden horse, it gives people some context. Mm. I thought it was better to listen to the lecture myself. You're gonna go see the Captain Phillips movie? He's got his own book. You know, Richard Phillips, A Captain's Duty, Somali Pirates, Navy SEALs, and Dangerous Days at Sea, the John C. Dvorak story.
Mm-hmm.
All of this at audible.com, two of them free if you just go to audible.com/twit2. There's a new Johnny Carson biography, How to Sweet Talk a Shark, Strategies and Stories from a Master Negotiator. They've got business books, they've got self-help books, they've got fiction, they've got nonfiction, science fiction. audible.com/twit2. You're going to love it. Sign up today! Sony is the first major movie company to do a deal with Netflix. Now, Netflix did a deal to do House of Cards with Trigger Street, the production company. Awesome show. I can't wait. Season 2 is coming soon. Orange is the New Black by Jenji Cohen, the creator of Weeds. They brought Arrested Development back. Sony Studios did Breaking Bad. They did The Blacklist. And the creators of Damages, they're going to do a TV series, a TV show for Netflix. This is, I think, good news. I think Netflix has done a great job, and I'm thrilled to see a real studio doing this deal. In the deal, Netflix gets the right to premiere the one-hour drama everywhere. Surprising, maybe, that Sony's doing this, but I think a sign. There's a new model afoot for television production. Good news. You can email cash to anybody. This makes me nervous, and I want somebody to reassure me. Square is going to let me email cash to people if you have a debit card. Has anybody used this?
No, it's something worth playing with, though.
I have it on.
My friend tried it out, and I saw both sides of it.
How can this be work? Secure?
You're very welcome to send me cash, by the way, anytime.
It goes into
Scobalizer@gmail.com.
All right, wait a minute. Let me just try this then.
We
should try it to the No Agenda show. So you've always wanted to be a knight. Now's your opportunity.
I liked Walt Mossberg's review of it, where he just casually mentions that he emailed somebody $1,000.
Yeah.
When I test out an app, I don't email people $1,000. Wow, that's
I think it's bull crap.
Well, he had him send it back too. That was the other thing. So to make sure he
what a cheapskate.
Well, he could have sent him $35 and not take it. You know.
It's fun selling these books because people are like, I don't have $20. It's like, oh, do you have a Square? You know, do you have a credit card?
Do you use it? Oh, so you have it and you swipe it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, I trust that. I think that's reliable.
You know, this is sort of like PayPal, but there's a lower fee and it's easier.
There's no fee.
There's no fee. Right? Well, there's a donation. if you say you're buying a service from somebody, there's a donation. Like, you can decide.
So how much should I send you, John?
1,000
Yeah, we'll take a...
Will you send it back? Default.
If you don't put a subject line in, it defaults to $1,000.
So what will happen if you do that, Leo, the first time? You'll get an email that invites you to put your debit card number into Square's servers. And then when John, in order to receive it, he also has to do the same thing. So it's a transfer, and you'll get the money in 1 to 2 days.
Was Dvorak at
No, no agenda at Dvorak.org. No agenda. That would make sure it goes into the right box.
Somebody asked, how many Bitcoins did I lose on Silk Road?
Oh, did you lose anything on
no,
this?
No, I don't have any Bitcoins.
No.
You're the only one.
A-G-E.
That's the only thing he doesn't have.
That I will admit to.
Dvorak.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
No agenda at Dvorak.org.
Okay. $1,000.
That would be good.
From Leo.
If you live in Half Moon Bay, you don't need to use Silk Road.
Loading. Checking for your email.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Loading. Email sent.
Oh, great.
Wow.
You're rich. So that was pretty easy. I just worry about security. Like,
yeah,
well, why is that too easy?
Why is that different than PayPal or something?
PayPal and Google Wallet both, once you're registered with them, let you do email transmissions like this.
Yeah.
But this doesn't require any sign up other than putting your debit card into Square's servers.
Yeah, all they did is they flipped the sign up to later in the process.
Oh,
which
right.
is great. It's a great user experience. But I mean, I could email cash. Through my Chase account or through my PayPal account for years.
Okay. So this, okay.
It's they just marketed it really.
They well, that's an alternative.
Wait a minute. Publishers Clearinghouse, I've won $7 million.
Ah, see? That's the good luck you achieve when you give money to the No Agenda show. That's very common.
Amazing.
Yes.
You think
that's by the way, number seven.
$7 million.
Oh, it's only 7,000.
Spammers are going to ask to use Square?
7,000,
yeah. Every week for life. I plan to live a good long time. How long would I have to live to make it $7 million? Long freaking time.
That's what the spammers should do, is just say, I'm a Nigerian prince. Will you please Square email
thousand,
me?
A thousand weeks is all.
Thousand weeks. That's not so bad. I could live 1,000 weeks.
Well, that's 52 weeks in a year, so yeah. You figure that out.
20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, no brainer.
No brainer. It gives me a reason to live.
So you can get that check in the mail.
I want that check from Ed McMahon every week. All right. Well, that was easy, and I did that all from scratch. I hadn't installed it or anything. So now I'm going to get an email that I have to fill out and give them some financial information.
And that'll never happen.
And that's not going to happen. That's where I did it.
No.
Any other stories we want to mention here before we wrap this puppy up? Put a bow on it? Anybody?
I want to. Yeah, go ahead. Dvorak was right. 10 to 5, I guess, your time.
Words I don't want to hear in my life, Dvorak was right.
Yeah, I knew I was right when you first made the announcement.
Okay, oh, no, but that's Leo time. I'm 15 minutes off. That's pretty close.
We started on time, though. So I want to plug a new domain while we're here.
Okay, what is it?
Anewdomain.net. It's a genus.
Okay, it's a new domain, but what is the new domain?
What are you going to do? You're going to do an Abbott and Costello with me.
Who's on first? I understand it's a new domain, but what is it?
Yeah, it's a new domain.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is
it? I've gotten to these arguments myself.
With yourself?
No.
Okay, I'm ready to type it in. What is the new domain?
Yeah, you're there. Anewdomain.net.
Oh, it worked. And, John, you don't write about tech on
this. Yes, I do. I wrote about this. I have every photo of Steve Ballmer with his tongue sticking out. That's one good article. Very funny, by the way.
Also Chicago hot dogs.
So, well, yeah, I did that.
On popular science, idiocy, and trolls.
Oh, this is from your show. You had all these guys on going
I'm nervous to read this.
This is when you said, oh, it's so great that popular science has stopped their comments because the public is crazy and they hate science.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You and you had Molly. Molly.
It just pushed all the commenters back
to
Facebook.
I wasn't on that show. Was I on that show, Chad? I don't think that was Tom Merritt.
Oh, maybe you're right. It was Tom Merritt. Right. Yeah. Well, you weren't mentioned in this article then.
Okay, thank you. And you talked about Chicago hot dogs, football.
Somebody had to talk about Chicago hot dogs.
I'm trying to find the Ballmer story, though. I'm dying to read this.
It was on the scroll here?
Yeah.
It was a funny picture. Ballmer with his tongue sticking out. No, not there. I guess they bounced it. Probably got a note from Ballmer.
So you used to do this with Bill Gates. You would take all of the moments in Bill Gates' keynotes where he gulped.
Yeah, that was a great bit.
And you used you actually used a video toaster and you edited it all together.
So it was one long gulp sequence. Yeah, it went on for a long time.
We have to do that with Paul Graham. He always says,
Mr. Scoble's newest is called Age of Context, Mobile Sensors, Data, and the Future of Privacy. That's why I'm hiding behind the book. Vic Gundutra, I don't know who he is, says we are past information at your fingertips in the coming age of context. You won't even use your fingers.
Oh. Wow.
You know, whoa. Oh, look at your Moto X. You know,
I talked to it.
Yeah, you put it on that little sticker and it unlocks.
I don't need my fingers anymore.
You know?
This is exciting. This is available on Amazon?
Amazon.
Print on demand.
And Audible coming shortly.
Soon on Audible.com.
But Neil Amazon.
Dash blogs at Dashes, DASHES.com.
And fans of this network who love Gina Trapani, I've been working with her for a long time on ThinkUp, and we have been having an incredible response to the campaign to launch it. So thanks so much, especially to your viewers and audience have been fundamental.
Participate. ThinkUp.com, you would like it. For $60 a year, you get analytics on all of your social networks, right? I'm going to get Facebook. I'm going to get Twitter. I'm going to get Google Plus. What else? Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram we're working on right now. That's awesome. That's really exciting.
Very cool.
Anil, do you have a sample of the kind of analytics that you can get so you can see what it's like before you sign up?
Yeah, we're going to start sharing those this week. And the stuff, you know, one of them was how much you talk about yourself. And for Gina, it was like 8 times in a week that she talked about herself. She thought, oh, I should dial it down. And mine was like 150. And I thought, oh, maybe I should ease back a little bit too. But there's even just simple stuff like, you know, do people like your new profile picture more than your old one? And that kind of stuff is fun.
ThinkUp is open source. You can host it yourself, but this will be a hosted solution for people who don't want to do all the installation involved. Good going. It's nice to talk to you again, Anil. Thanks for coming
back. Good to see you too. Yeah.
Dwight Silverman is available at... I'm just waiting for you to hit me with a laser burst of some kind.
It's like a Daft Punk.
Oh, that's it. He just needs a helmet.
Yeah. There we go.
Dwight Silverman blogs at the Houston Chronicle, blog.cron.com/techblog.
Tech blog, yeah.
But he can also be heard every Wednesday on the Pacifica Radio Network in Houston. And the show is Bites Up. No.
Bites Technology up. Technology Bites.
Technology and Bites.
Right, you can listen to it at kpft.org, or if you're in Houston, it's 90.1 FM.
Awesome.
And we're there for 2 hours every night, every Wednesday night, although unfortunately this week is a fundraiser, so don't listen this week unless you want to give us money.
You know, we're all learning from John, aren't we? He's really invented that.
Give us money.
We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. If you can watch live, do, because the chat room gives us all of our best lines. But if you can't, there it is. What? He does that a lot, and he's got kind of a weird tongue. That's Steve Ballmer's tongue.
He does.
It's pointy.
The best one is the
looks
one
like
at
the devil.
Very end.
Wait a minute, that's not even Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus has Steve Ballmer's tongue. Give it back. Wow.
That's the good one.
It's blue.
Why is he doing this?
You know, why is Miley Cyrus doing it? It's just
she
the thing.
Constantly
it's the
does
new
it.
Thing.
Yeah, the tongue's out. It has to come out.
It's got to come out. Wow. Please tune in live and you can see things like stop. That. But if you can't, on demand audio and video available after the fact at twit.tv. And, of course, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. If you'd like to be here live in the studio, we love having a live audience. Thank you all for being here. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. Have a nice little snack.
Or just come by.
Keys to the car underneath your chair. Don't all look now. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you later. Another Twit is in the can. Yeah.
Let's do it a third time and see what it comes out.
It's time for Twit. Everybody get together because we got Dvorak. We got Scoble. It's going to be an amazing show. Even Oprah's here. You stay tuned. Twit is next.